because I mean business. You see, you work in my behalf. I'll give you credit for it, but we can call it on the highs. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs in chapter number 23, if you find the place over there and you're able to stand. In the book of Proverbs in chapter number 23. All right, let's look there in that chapter there, verse number 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close the man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now verse 29. Who hath woe, and who hath sorrow, and who hath contentions, and who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it's red. See, sometimes I'm going to say, you know, as long as you don't get drunk, it's all right to drink a little, is their argument. God said, don't even look at it. Much less test it, don't even look at it. And certainly it's to look at it with the desire of thy. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. And yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Talk about putting yourself in danger. They have stricken me, and shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. Move upon us and within us. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on, I've pastored a lot of drunks. That's a good title, isn't it? Now, you don't get to pastor them very long. They can't take it. The heat's too hot, but they'll stick around for a little while, sometime a few years at a time. Let me say that whenever you begin to look into this Bible passage here, that those passages, if that's all you ever had, it's not all that you've got, but if that's all that we ever had, you have enough right there to be able to recognize and know that somewhere between a wine bottle and strong drink, there's a beer can running around. He's not just talking about wine and just strong drink, but he's talking about anything and everything that has an alcohol content. In the lesson that we're looking at here, and this is what ends up happening was, is that back up there in chapter number 20 in the book of Proverbs. Now, I know we don't have any problem with it here. You may have gotten saved and drank ignorantly and all of that, but when you found out what God said, there's no more argument about it. When it's all said and done, when you leave here, if you believe the same thing you've always believed and want to try to be in defense of it, you just need to get born again. There ain't a way I can help you. Yes, see? In this lesson there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 20, look at that. Verse 1. Bible said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. That kind of covers all of it. Anything between wine, strong drink, and in the middle. And they, the Bible said, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, don't lose that text, but look in Proverbs 15. And I want you to look there at about verse number 24. Proverbs 15, verse number 24. The way of life is above. Now, when you leave here in this world, I'm talking about, are you going up? Or are you going down? But if you're wise, you're going up. But the Bible said the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Now pay close attention. Is that whenever you leave this world, the old timers will say, hey, I want to ask you this here. When you leave this world, are you going up yonder or down yonder? That's why they did it. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're going to what? Everybody in this building, you're going to one or the other. If you've got no more right now tonight than you were born with physically, if all you've got is your family name and so forth and on, your head is straight to hell without hope and without God. But I want you to look at it again, because pay close attention. The way of life is above to what? The wise person that trusts in Jesus Christ. Sure, there's some things you've done. You've messed up along the way in life since the day you got saved. But let me tell you that when God smites our heart, he lets us know that as a child of God, these things are no longer permissible. Now watch this. The Bible said the way of life is above to who? The wise. Now back over there in Proverbs 20 that we just got through looking at. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That means they're not heaven bound. That means they don't know the Lord. That means that they're going to go ahead and pop another top. I've been to funerals where they were playing some country song, pop a top again. I don't know who sang it and all that, but the lyrics were something like, I think I'll have another round. Let me tell you, they can have all the rounds they want, but it's only indicative of the fact that they've been deceived by it and they're not wise. Been a many a preacher that got up and tried to eulogize a body that died and went straight to hell, but God knows the difference. I'm glad God doesn't depend upon you and I to put somebody in heaven or throw somebody into hell. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, I got a message I preached sometime or another several years ago on several different occasions on, will liquor drinking damn a soul to hell? And I deal with the sipper, somebody that likes to just sip a little bit, you know, and somebody that sells it, and also with somebody that's a sot, that is a sot drunk. And I'm going to tell you, every sot used to be nothing but a little sipper. They sip a little here and a little bit there, and it got to where they needed more of it, and they needed more of it. Don't get upset when you realize to know that most of our family, and I've got them too, are headed straight to hell with a jug of suds or something sitting by them. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that God said there's some things there that we ought to take to heart. Number one is that people that are not wise have some things that accompany them that are, well, you wouldn't have learned them, you wouldn't have known about them had it not been for the blessed word of the Lord. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, we don't have time to cover all the passages, but you know over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, he goes ahead and talks about and says, no, you're not the unrighteous, not inherit the kingdom of God, heaven or kingdom of God. He said, be not deceived. And then he goes to naming a whole crew of people, and drunkards is one of them. Drunkenness is one of them. Over in the book of Galatians, I believe it's in, chapter 4 or 5, 5 or 6. Let me see, I got a Bible here. Let me just see if I can look that up here. And if we hadn't read up Galatians yet, I'm sure it'll be right here handy. But in the book of Galatians, I think it's going to be in chapter number 5, when you look in there, is that you'll find it's in the chapter where that the flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to another. And because of the fact is that one's of God and the other one's not. No, yeah, chapter 5 and verse 17 down through verse number 21. He goes on and says, envious murders, and then he mentions drunkenness and a whole list of other things before and after. And he says, I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do, that's a present tense word, those that practice that, those that are involved in that, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you, that's pretty sobering sermons and preaching to people that don't know the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, turn quickly there. In the book of Isaiah. And then not only that, we don't use it very often, but the book of Habakkuk, you're going to be needing that in a moment. But in the book of Habakkuk, you'll find that. You may want to make a mark on that or put something in the mark as a marker in it. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, in this lesson that we're looking at, and I'm going to tell you, it don't take long. when you work on a job, and some of you gals, you know, and some of you fellows that are busy now, just now getting in the workforce, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be working with, a bunch of drunks. I mean, we're in a drunkard nation, make no mistake about that. And let me tell you, the problematic situation we have among young people that are busy drinking in the day and hour we're living in. Listen, they go on spring break, and I can promise you right now, there's been a whole lot of them. I watch a few law programs every now and again. They'll arrest them down there. I noticed all of y'all have been drinking. There's five or six of you here drinking. How old are you? And of course, you got to be 21. And how old are you? Well, you know, they're all of them under 21 except that one gal. She's the only one that hadn't had nothing to drink. Where'd you get it from? I'll tell you right now is that it's a problem. A spring break and all of that. Not only do they lie, cheat, connive, have sex, fornicate, and adultery and all that. They've got dope they're snorting and liquor they're drinking. It's a problem among young people in the United States of America. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, while you turn to Isaiah chapter number 5, the Bible says, verse number 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. The harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast. I sound like a honky-tonk, don't it? But they regard not the work of the Lord, and neither consider the operation of his hands. Look at it. They don't want you telling them what God said. They're not interested in what God's doing. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure in their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into him. Now I'm going to tell you something. They know two ways in ten while you turn to the book of Deuteronomy over there in chapter number 29. That there's going to be a lot of people up and down the road of life that you and I have brushed shoulders with. People that we, cared about, concerned about, that are going to wind up one of these days in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies, or the fire's never quenched. Not because of the fact that God doesn't love them, but because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All right, there's a passage over there in Deuteronomy chapter number 29. Let's look in verse number 5 and verse number 6 first of all. He said, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness, God's telling the children of Israel. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine nor strong drink. Now why? That you might know that I am the Lord your God. You know what strong drink does? I'll tell you what it does is it'll mess up your mind. You don't know if God's coming or going. You don't know if you're coming or going. You don't know if you're in or out, up and down. People can't understand you. I'm going to tell you, it's like somebody that's trying to learn how to talk. And you're reduced to a Bible. I helped an old boy one time whenever I was in between churches, and I had to go to school up there at an insurance thing, and he came in. And of course, you know, I was the oddball because of the fact that I stayed at my room, minded my business, and while the rest of them that are off, and he come in, this one guy that was one of the roommates, and he was so drunk he couldn't even get in. I woke up and helped him get in. Did my wife call you? I miss her, you know. I said, yeah, she's called, but that was way back earlier. It's 2:30 in the morning now, and we're not going to try to call and mess with her right now. And besides that, I can barely make out what you're saying. I doubt that she's going to be able to at all. In that lesson that you look at, I finally helped him go ahead and get on into bed, and I thought, man, what a sad sight that this is. That's the idea that God has given here in the Bible. He's already warned you. He's already told you. In Proverbs 31, King Lemuel's mother taught him about women, about wine, about strong drink, and about a wicked life. He taught. In fact, Proverbs 31, if you read that, you'll find out, mamas, you ought to be teaching your children about the dangers of alcohol. instead of sitting around sipping with the other drunk comrades that you've got. Let me say to you, look in Deuteronomy 29, look in verse 18. Lest there be a man or a woman or a family or a tribe. Boy, it affects the whole family, don't it? Whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of the nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass that when you hear the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, and though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. I can't tell you how many of them have told me just that very same thing. I don't believe you, preacher. I've got peace in my heart. Pour me another one. Look in verse 20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that band, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now I want you to watch, and I don't have time to deal with all of that. When God wrote down and recorded everybody that's ever been born that's in a book, and you'll find out that everybody that's name is there that'll ever be born, God knows it's there, and there it is. And God said that a person that finally passes the point of no return in drunkenness, he's going to blot their name out of the book that's been written. Now, you know, we hear preachers all the time, and don't ever jump on one of them, you know, be kind and courteous. They'll tell you, you know, if you'll get saved, God will write your name down. If you get saved, your name's done written down, he'll just seal it by the blood of the Lamb. But one of these days, your name will be blotted out if you don't get saved. And when you're thrown, before you're thrown into hell, God will open up the books. Another book will be open, which is the book of life. And he will show you where your name was, but you said no to God, and he blotted it out of the book of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. And make no mistake about it, that somebody said, well, you know, I know a preacher. I'm glad you brought that up. Because in Isaiah chapter number 28, there's a passage that we ought to look at. I may know the same preacher that you're talking about, but I wish I didn't. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28, notice it about verse number 7 and 8, 7 down through 8 or 9. All right, Isaiah 28, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink. They're out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink, and they err in their vision, and they stumble in judgment. This is hard to get a preacher that's a drunk to make the right judgment in the light of God's and his scripture. For notice how God feels about it. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, that are drawn from the breast. And I want to tell you something while you turn over there in the book of Habakkuk. There's going to be somebody every now and again come along. I remember as a kid growing up, especially on a good frosty morning, somebody say, hey, you ain't bring, not to me, because I'm a kid, but you know, to one of my uncles or somebody around, you didn't bring a little toddy, did you? And they're talking about a bottle of whiskey or a flask or something. Oh, man, it's kind of nippy. Nippy. You know what nippy means? It means they need a nip of that whiskey to warm them up a little bit. See, we miss that, don't we? Don't you miss it? Don't you miss them good old days when you used to take a nip with your aunt and your uncle, a bunch of sorry cousins, and us? No. No, you don't miss that if you're saved. I said all that so you know this. Look in the book of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse number 15 and verse number 16. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and putteth thy bottle to him, makest him drunk also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. You want God to take you in or spew you out? See? Well, it just depends on what you're going to do with him and with the blessed word of the Lord. I want you to look over in the book of 1 Samuel. We're getting down to the short row. I don't mean this to be ugly, but I don't want you to get so under conviction you need a drink. In the book of 1 Samuel, here's a woman over here by the name of Hannah. She's wanting a son, a baby boy, like you've never known. She's been praying about it. She's been agonizing to God about it. She finally prays and begs God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse 12. And it shall come to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, this is, down at the house of God there, the temple, if you will, please, he says, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now I want you to listen to her answer. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Then notice, pay particular attention to verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That involves people that are wicked. That involves false religion. That involves sodomites. That involves everything contrary. You know what God, what Hannah was saying by the word of the Lord? Drinking and drunkenness is for people that don't know God in a false religion. I'm not in a false religion. And it says, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief I have spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. I want to say that when you begin to look into that, you know, we miss it sometimes. But from the beginning to the end, you know the first time that liquor drinking's ever mentioned? In the book of Genesis, by a man by the name of Noah. After he came off the ark, they planted a vineyard and this and that, and he got drunk out of the vineyard and out of the wine. The grape. Now, I'm not going to spit that up here and like some, you know, the average Baptist. Well, I'm sure he didn't know it was fermented. Sure he did. Sure he did. Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Doesn't know nothing about a strong drink like we know it, but I'll tell you what he did. He got drunk and lay naked in his tent. And his son by the name of Ham walked by and saw him. And he looked upon him and he told his brothers, Shem and Japheth. And they came by, took a garment or took a sheet or whatever it was, a blanket or something, and they walked backwards, didn't even look on him, and pulled it over him to cover up his nakedness. When Noah awakened and saw what his son Ham had done, now I don't know what all he done, but I can tell you one thing, it brought the wrath of God and the curse of God upon his family, and as a result of that, that's the reason why that this world for a whole lot is in the shape it's in. You know, they're always talking about being a racist and not being a racist and so forth. You're never going to wipe that out of this world. If you did, you'd have to be able to wipe out what God said in that Bible. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it. I'm glad that I'm saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. Now, in closing tonight, I want to tell you something, is that we'll stop there. But suffice to say, if we could go on and we could go on, and we could go on. But you can go home sometime and look up the word drunkard, look up the word drunk, look up the word drunkenness, look up the word in your concordance of a deal or on your phone if you have one of there that's there. And let me tell you right now, and go through every passage that's in the Bible. I'll tell you, the only time you'll find liquor that was permitted, and it's to those that were dying, and to those that had such pain and agony that it's used as a medicinal purpose. See? I can't tell you how many times that I've told people the honest truth about that. And they'd go home and say, man, I tell you, I got a little ache somewhere I'm going to have to go. Well, go on with it. You'll be in hell soon. See? You see what I'm talking about? I got to say in closing that, if you will, I've pastored a lot of drunks, and I may pastor one or two more before I get to the other side. It's never a pleasant task. It's never pleasant because they're blind as a bat and can't see and don't really care and don't really want to know. See? So as a result of that, I've had people that have told me, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not listening to no more of that and all that. And they went home and got drunk because it bothered them so very badly. And let me tell you right now, is they're not bothered nearly as badly as they're going to be. I'm glad to know that I know the difference between being saved and being lost. I know the difference between just being a religionist and being born again into the family of God. And let me tell you, I've got enough to answer for whenever I'm at the judgment seat of Christ. I certainly don't need to add to it any more in this life. I'm glad God's grace has been sufficient. I'm not working on the buddy plan. I'm working on the Bible plan, the blood bought plan, that my sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Now, if you're saved here tonight, so are you. If not, you could be. I wonder why we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Now, Father, I pray that, Lord, it's been enlightening, instructive, that these boys and girls might be able to grow up and know that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Build a hedge about them, and Lord, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.